standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea, and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the gospel lesson is from the 14th chapter of John, verses 8 through 17 and 25 through 27. And can be found on pages 108 and 109 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. And in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. These are the words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Well, two stories. Pentecost. That first story from Acts, you can just imagine how wonderful and glorious that was. And that's usually what we concentrate on in Pentecost, is those 5,000 plus new believers. They weren't believers when they started that day, the vast majority, but they certainly were when they left. And as I told the people last night at the evening worship service, you wonder how much of an effect it had on their lives? Well, think about this. Those 5,000 plus were so affected by the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, just the marvelous miracle that was there. They were so affected by that that their lives were altered forever. They went from They went to every one of those places where they had been from, and they shared that story. And it was so powerful that even many of them gave up their lives rather than recant the message that Jesus had imparted in them through the Holy Spirit. The paraclete, the advocate, the Greek word for the advocate, that paraclete. The beauty of Pentecost is the presence of God through Jesus the Son in the paraclete, in the Holy Spirit, in that advocate. Just as Jesus told His disciples what was going to happen. Think about this. When you read this first verse of the chapter, and it's like, wait a minute, you know, Philip says, Lord, show us the Father. You know, sometimes when you're reading the scriptures and you hear how, wait a minute, Philip, you were there with everybody else. You guys have seen all of the glorious things that Jesus has done. And He did those miracles. He did those miracles for a reason. Whether it was standing outside Lazarus' tomb telling him to come out, or when He calmed the Sea of Galilee in a storm when His disciples thought they were going to be drowned, or when He feeds the 5,000 and... You know, and everybody says, well, Lord, you need to send them away because we don't have enough money to feed them. Well, what does He do? He says, what do we have? A lad's lunch. We have some fish and we have some loaves. And He feeds 5,000. And just to prove, put the dot on that sentence, there are 12 bushel baskets left over when they finish. Now, that's a miracle. And these disciples heard it or saw it or were part of it. And yet they still say, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. No, they won't. He's shown them the Father and they weren't satisfied. You know, how is that like, you know, young kids? Alex, driving. Didn't someone give you maybe a advice on how to pay attention to the highway? And until you actually are there in that moment, putting on your brakes and time to stop, you don't realize what it means to be paying attention to the road all the time, right? Everybody knows it, but we get so complacent that we... Not that you would, Alex. Not that you would. But I can just imagine me. So these disciples, Philip being one of them, show us the Father. Jesus has been showing them the Father all this time. Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and still you do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us? How can you say, show us the Father? And here's the key piece. Belief and faith and hope. Seeing is believing, right? Think about what Jesus tells to Thomas later on, after the crucifixion and the resurrection. And He shows up in that upper room. And who was it? Doubting Thomas, who says, unless I see, I won't believe. I have to see it and I have to touch it. Jesus shows up in that upper room 7 days later. And what happens? Thomas is on his knees saying, Lord. And no longer does he have to touch or see. He believes. And Jesus says, you believe because you've seen. How much better for those who have not seen who believe. You know, you and I didn't witness those miracles. You and I only have for us the printed word, the Gospels, the shared miracles that Jesus performed. Yet we believe. Not having seen, we believe. Now, I'll tell you, as many times as you go to the hospital, as many times as you see healing, how many of you have witnessed the birth of a child? How many of you fathers have held that newborn child? Now, is that a miracle? Yeah, that's a miracle. Thomas. Yeah. Wasn't it a miracle to see her the next day? But when you finally saw her, you recognize that miracles are still being performed. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. That is Jesus telling you, look, what God is doing, the Father is doing these things through me, so you will believe. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Here's the thing. Humanity, we are really strange birds. Right, Alex? Strange birds. We have to see to believe. But you know what? Jesus is saying what you have to do is suspend your disbelief. Most of the time we're, you know, I'm not going to believe that until I've seen it, or I'm not going to understand that until I've done it. Sometimes we just have to take it on faith. We have to take that leap of faith, and we have to suspend our disbelief. Because faith and hope is what? Faith and hope is when we hope and believe something's going to happen without the evidence of it prior to. When we know that our parents love us. All those times that I did something wrong and my dad said, I love you, and he would administer some discipline. That was a stretch for me to believe and trust that he loved me. But you know what? All you have to do is be 10 years into being a parent and you know exactly what that parent and how that parent loved you, how my dad loved me, and that's why he administered all of those disciplines. But the faith and the belief is when the parent tells you, you believe. Jesus is telling us, the disciples, that they need to believe that what Jesus is telling them is true, that God is in them, the Father is in him, and the Paraclete, this advocate that God is going to send, is going to be there, and he's going to reveal all these things to them. Because it's a tough thing to swallow all of these miracles that Jesus has said, all these things that Jesus has told them is going to happen. So we have to suspend our disbelief. Verse 12. Now this is one that really causes you to wonder. Verse 12. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. In fact, will do greater works than these. Now Jesus is saying that before his crucifixion. Before his resurrection, before his ascension. What's happening on the day of Pentecost? Peter, who's just a big fisherman, got a big voice. He's a pretty active person. But he is speaking with such eloquence, and maybe not with eloquence, but he is speaking and convincing 5,000 plus people that Jesus is alive, that the Holy Spirit is going to come and they are going to be renewed and refreshed and given a life that they could never have anticipated. This is what Peter is able to do because of the Holy Spirit, because of that advocate, because of that counselor that Jesus told them would come. It's called faith. It's called belief. The other piece, this advocate is not just going to be with you for a little while. See, Jesus said, I'm only here with you a little while. And he doesn't want him to be troubled. He doesn't want him to be worrying. But he says, I'm only going to be with you a little while. And at this point, Jesus is leaving in just a short period of time to be with the Father. But he says, this advocate to be with you forever. We have a promise. The Holy Spirit is with us forever. Forever. And this is the Spirit of truth. You know, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. The Spirit of truth is what? You know, even when you don't like truth, it's still truth. You know, I can't believe I got in the car and started it and I'm driving down the highway and I didn't check the gas gauge and I'm at E. I don't like it, but it's true. How many times are there simple truths that we just try to ignore, but they're still the truth? A wrong is a wrong. No matter how many times people in our society tell us it's okay. Scripture says it's wrong. Scripture calls it a sin. It's a sin. Now, that doesn't mean you're eternally damned, because we know God has grace through Jesus Christ. We have mercy. We can ask for forgiveness and then accept that forgiveness. But we have to recognize that what we've done is wrong, is sin. So much of the time we want to say, well, you know, I'm not any worse than anybody else. One other piece. How many times have you heard we're all children of God? Everyone is a child of God. That's not Scripture. Everyone has the potential to be a child of God. You know who the children of God are? Those who have the Holy Spirit. Those who have accepted and called on the Holy Spirit to come into their lives, Christ Jesus to come into their lives. Then they're children of God. Everyone has potential to be a child of God, even the thief on the cross, up to the last hours of his day, confessed Jesus as Lord, believed in his heart that he was Lord. Then you're a child of God. So many times, well, we're all children of God. Only if you believe. Only if you have faith in Christ Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean that your faith isn't going to be tested. That doesn't mean that you understand everything, but you can have a faith and a hope even when the evidence isn't there. That's the power of that. 14 is the toughest one to walk away with and learn all the time. If in my name you ask me for something, I will do it. Sounds like, wow, that's easy. All I have to do is ask Jesus and he'll do it. Or ask something of the Father in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and he'll do it. He will. It may not be the way that you think he's going to answer that plea. It may not be in your timing. And he may answer it with a not yet. If you love me, continuing in verse 14, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Do you love God? Do you love Jesus? Pretty simple. Keep his commandments. The advocate whom the Holy Spirit will send, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you all of that I have said to you. The challenge is, he's telling them and they don't really understand. Let's go back to the verse before that, which is verse 17 and 18. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, but it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. How many of you have received communion? All of us have received communion. Why do we receive communion? What is it that happens when we receive communion, when we receive those elements? Through the miracle of faith, we have Christ Jesus in us. The body which is given, the bread of life, the blood which is shed for our forgiveness, for our sins. We have Jesus in us. In that miracle of faith in communion. But you know what? That day at Pentecost, everybody there had the Holy Spirit in them. Every one of us, through our baptism and through our repeated communion, has the Holy Spirit in us. Greater is he that is in me than that which is in the world. The Holy Spirit. Jesus says so many times, according to John in chapter 14, let not your hearts be troubled. Because you know, the world is full of trouble. Everything does not always go your way. But we trust and we believe that God has a better plan for us. And in that day, in His day, we'll understand. So the same peace that Jesus gives to His disciples, this peace I leave you with, not as the world leaves peace, but the peace of Christ Jesus is with you. Shalom.